What's going on, Sky Town? Welcome to another edition of the Skyhook Podcast. My name is James K, and with me, again, during just pulling off some heroic shit right now, is Chris Pennant during his lunch break, giving it all to us. We really appreciate it, man. How you holding up after last night's game?
I'm okay, man. I'm feeling pretty good, honestly.
You know what? Since we're limited with time today, let's just get into it. The Sky lost game two of the semifinals, 79-68 to the Sun last night. Chris, Chicago just looked gassed after playing four games in the last 8 days, but these teams are going to be back at Wintrust Arena this Sunday for game three. What stood out to you yesterday with the Sky not being able to steal game two in Connecticut?
That they looked good up until the very end. Those last 10 minutes really did the trick. And there were a couple of opportunities where the Sky had the chance to tie the game in the fourth quarter, and Connecticut wasn't pulling away with things before, I think, a TV timeout about midway through. They'd had a few shots, the Sky did, three-pointer that didn't fall, a scramble on an offensive rebound when they got a couple of cracks at a layup, and that didn't go down. Diamond DeShields had a run out that bounced off the back iron. I think it was either her or Candace Parker. And then the fatigue really just set in. You could see that they were the feet, the mind was willing and the body couldn't follow. Otherwise, they got off to a fantastic start. They fought back from a deficit in a fairly withering second quarter. And the Sky had the lead after three. I feel really good about that. They didn't shoot particularly well, but they did hit seven. They did hit seven threes. Allie Quigley was a little off, but Diamond had a three. Steph had a three. Lexi Brown came off the bench to hit a three late, so that's a bit negligible. Candace Parker hit a three too. I liked their effort. I liked the effort that the team gave, and they weathered a few runs before the one that ultimately decided the game.
I'm with you. This team just looked exhausted. It looked like the performance they had right after they'd swept the Storm weeks ago when they had to play Phoenix like two days later. They just weren't getting out in transition. And when that happens, the other team is just going to have the advantage. They only had four transition points yesterday. Connecticut rebounded them 39-26 and had 19 second chance points compared to the Sky's nine. This was just a night where they were just running on low, honestly. The gas tank wasn't full. And obviously there's a couple things that you can point to. We can't just say it's all fatigue. This was a kind of a night where maybe you'd want someone like Diamond DeShields to step up as that energizer bunny for this team after she played less than 20 minutes last game. And her plus minus yesterday was minus 21. But at the same time, you can't ask for one player to bring all the energy for your team. And like you had mentioned, Allie Quigley also struggled a little bit yesterday. She only had 2 points on one of six shooting in the second half. But I want to echo what you were saying at the beginning of this. With all of that said, the Sky still had a one-point lead in the fourth quarter before being outscored 21-9 by the end of it. You know, so they aren't going back to Connecticut having won the last game, but they still did the job by getting one of these first two games.
Yeah, stealing home court was gigantic in this series, and it took two overtimes, but the Sky were able to do it, and you just need to get a win. It doesn't matter necessarily how you did it, and even in that game that had 10 extra minutes of basketball, the Sky looked very impressive. So they have home court. Connecticut, I still think that the Sky need this game more than Connecticut does, just because the Sky are the underdog in the series. Connecticut has the MVP. Alyssa Thomas is looking back to her old self. And Breonna Jones has played very well in both of these two games. So I think the Sky are need to be a bit more desperate, but they can afford to be at home. You're going to get an energy boost when you're playing at home.
They are. And again, there are certain things that they do need to clean up, obviously. I am a little confused by why Ezra Stevens isn't playing more right now. I felt like she's looked really good the last two games. Like, she had 8-7 in game one. She looked really crisp on the offensive end yesterday. She had 10 points and 4 rebounds and was plus 10. I don't really understand why James Wade is necessarily going with Steph Dolson and Astu do as much as he has in the second half of games. Is there anything that has stuck out to you? And again, James Wade knows more about basketball than I do. So, you know, but at the same time, I don't understand how you, when just looking at what Azrae Stevens has provided on both sides of the ball, how you could then take her out of her flow and put Astu and Steph in when they've kind of struggled the past two games. Is there anything that stuck out to you in terms of those three and their play so far?
Astu, I understand for certain. She played really well in game one. She provides a nice change of pace in terms of what Connecticut sees defensively, and is just a high energy player. She runs the floor well. She knows the team. So she's going to have her hands up on runouts, and she's going to be able to cut to the basket. And like I said, change of pace on the defensive end. She's taller. She's a lengthier player, even than Z. And she's going to help alter a lot of shots. And, you know, Z has a tough assignment covering Jonquel Jones when she has to, or covering Alyssa Thomas if she has to. So Astu and even Steph are there to absorb some fouls. I think the difficulty with Steph is that she is a physical player. And I think the referees honestly are looking at that more than they have in the past. So she's not going to get that much leeway. Probably it might change at home, but I don't think she's going to get a lot of leeway covering a strong player like Alyssa Thomas or an intelligent and excellent offensive player like Jonquel Jones. So I think you have to watch what weaknesses Z might have in covering one or both of those players. I don't know if she got into early foul trouble. I don't believe she did. But I think the one thing that you watch out with Z is, as tall as she is, she's not going to be able to hang with the stronger players around the basket. But that would be my only explanation.
I agree with you about Astu. As much as that I don't love her game as much as I did in 2019 on the offensive end, and she came through big in game one. She hit her 9-3 after shooting around 23% on the season last game, and she had one shot on the baseline as well that went in. Again, it's a momentum booster when your bench players can step up like that. But Azrae Stevens has also had time throughout this entire season guarding some of the best front court players in this league. You look back at first couple matchups against the Mercury, where she was up against Brittany Griner and it was keeping someone like Brittany Griner in front of her. I don't know if you had a chance to watch yesterday's game, but the way that Brittany Griner was able to pick apart every single double team that the Aces threw at them. Yeah. Oh my God. It was incredible to watch. But besides the point, Azrae Stevens going up against Brittany Griner, and you saw her go up against Sylvia Fowles in the second round of the playoffs this year. She held her own in a way that I thought she might have earned more minutes in these last two games. But I do get it on Astu's end. I don't get it as much with Steph, but at the same time, you're right. She did have three early fouls that might have chipped into why she didn't play as much in the second half. But let's get into who you were just talking about, Chris. Jonquel Jones. I felt like one of the biggest storylines last night was Jonquel Jones struggling on the offensive end. She shot 2 of 9 from the field and missed both of her free throw attempts, both in which came in the first quarter. So she didn't really get to the line the rest of the game after that. So even though this was a really tough night for Jonquel Jones, Alyssa Thomas was able to come through, and, you know, this maybe is not as big of a deal on the other side of it now, but what did you see from Jonquel Jones? And did you feel because of how limited her production was that this guy could actually pull away in this one?
No, I will say I didn't catch all of the first half. So okay. I was as surprised as anybody when she only had 0 points and she didn't score until about midway through the third quarter. The only explanation for that is some type of injury. There has to be something going on with a player like Jonquel Jones, who's had such an incredible season and has been so steadily good and improving over the last three. There's got to be something that most likely won't be disclosed, because there's no way, if I'm Kurt Miller or anybody on the Sun coaching staff, I'm not saying a word about Jonquel Jones' condition because that is fodder for the other team to game plan around, unless you're trying to run some sort of third dimensional chess. But I don't think it had an impact in terms of the Sky getting away with the game, because fatigue is a factor. And two, because the other the Connecticut Sun did what we talked about. They had other players step up early. Jasmine Thomas, we said, needed to be more productive offensively, and she was. She had 12 points in the first half. Alyssa Thomas took some time to get going, but she did. Breon January even looked a little bit more crisp on defense and offense. She didn't have a lot on the offensive side of the stat sheet, but I think she covered Allie Quigley a lot better, whether that is more a byproduct of fatigue or just, you know, January answering the challenge. I think you have, let's say, 50% of both. And we talked about how poorly Dawana Bonner played in game one. She was 6 for 13 in this game. She only hit one of her 5 3-point attempts, but she had 15 points. So the Sun stepped up when Jonquel Jones couldn't be there in the same capacity that she was. So even if they hadn't, like we said, the Sky were very tired. It was apparent. So I don't think that there was a chance for them to really get a runaway in this one. And we didn't anticipate that, right? We thought it was going to be a close one, or that Connecticut might overwhelm them. I think it took a long time for Connecticut to overwhelm the Sky.
You really do have to give credit to Kurt Miller and the Sun for being able to remain calm when Jonquel Jones was going through this slump. I mean, this was the lowest scoring game of the season for her. And before last night, she actually only had one game in the regular season where she scored under 10 points. And that was an 8-point performance in like the middle of August. So this was something that we've seen Jonquel Jones dominate through this entire season. And that's why she won MVP. I don't really think it was an injury necessarily, man. Like, it actually felt more like something mentally was going on, not like the yips necessarily. That's the most extreme condition an athlete can face mentally. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it did feel like she was rattled ever since that, after the third quarter and last in game one. Honestly, it felt like her shot selection was off. She wasn't attacking the rim in the way that she typically has this entire season, and it just felt off. It just didn't seem like the shot selection was there. And again, she didn't score until 3 minutes left in the third quarter, like you said. So I feel like it might have been a bigger storyline too if Alyssa Thomas hadn't just dominated on both ends of the floor like she did last night. And I'm curious how Jonquel Jones bounces back. She's got a couple of days now to get ready and potentially get her mind right. Or maybe, if you're right, Chris, maybe get her body right. But with so much time off.
That's what I think. That's just why I think it's got to be some sort of, because, you know, a player like that, I mean, the yips, like you said, is something that athletes face. Athletes have faced that probably since sports became commercialized back in Roman times. But I would be so surprised if it's something like that. At this point of the year, with this being the best Connecticut Sun team that we've seen, in their current form, how would that, you never know, but I can't see it. I will say it. I can't see it. I will be as surprised as anyone if that's what comes out.
I guess I'm curious where the physical part would be coming in, just because she did score 26 points in through three quarters, but she did end last game with 26 points, even though I think she only scored 4 points in both overtimes and the fourth quarter. So that's where I'm like, okay, if she seemed fine, then there wasn't any injuries that came out. Like, there wasn't like a moment in game one where you were like, oh, Jonquel Jones is laboring right now. I wonder what's going on with her. It's not like Diana Taurasi on the other end who's like limping around the court. Yeah. So I'm curious to see what happens. Maybe you're right. I'm not trying to disregard you by any means. I'm just going through the tape, and something doesn't add up here, whether it's physical or mental. But let's talk about Alyssa Thomas, though. And we talked a little bit about Jasmine. We have to. This is something I've at least never seen in sports. There's only a couple of moments that I can think of, like Isaiah Thomas versus the Lakers, or Kirk Gibson versus the Athletics, or Kurt Schilling versus the Yankees in 2004, with all these injuries that like you would never expect someone to be able to grind through. This is something that is just incredible right now. Alyssa Thomas, not even, I mean, again, we don't have to go over the labrum issues that she's had in the past, but for her to have had surgery in late January to be playing right now and go 15, 11, and 6 in 25 minutes in a playoff game.
Yeah.
That's incredible to me. She was a difference maker, not on just the offensive end, but on the defensive end as well. She was plus 30 in the plus minus column last night. What did you see from her? Because I know you caught the game a little bit late, but she really did take off in the second half.
It's the Alyssa Thomas we've come to know. She was everywhere on the offensive boards. She was getting up in passing lanes. She did the little things on defense, you know, altering slashing paths, altering shots, denying, you know, ball denial. That's, you know, the Alyssa Thomas that Connecticut fans love and that fans of like the Sky of mice like myself are just so, you know when somebody's moving right and they're just so disruptive to what your team wants to do. That's what Alyssa Thomas is at her best. She hit an outside shot with the one-handed delivery that she has to use pretty much. And she even hit three or four free throws. But the 11 rebounds, when I think that's really the huge difference. She was the only person on Connecticut with double-digit rebounds. And even though they spread that out, Jonquel Jones did have 7 boards. That's what the Sky have so much trouble with when they have trouble. A player like Alyssa Thomas, who creates so much space, being able to get after the ball. Rebounding can't be taught. Not rebounding at that level. Some people just know how to get the ball, and they're not trying to waste time boxing out. They're just going after the basketball, tipping it, keeping it alive, getting 2 hands on it. Nobody else gets it. That's what Alyssa Thomas does. That's what Jonquel Jones does. That's what Kalia Copper does so much from the guard position. But that's what the Alyssa Thomas that we saw last night. And so she was on a minutes restriction. I don't know if she is anymore, because she played 20-plus in game one. She played 20-plus here in game two. And I think that they might be able to take the restricted plate off for the rest of the series. That's trouble. That's trouble for this guy.
She was the difference last game. And like we had mentioned at the top of this as well, the Sky were out-rebounded 39-26 last night. And Alyssa Thomas being able to pull down 11 rebounds like that, it's going to make a huge difference in this series, where I didn't really know if it was going to. She looked okay. I think it was against the Liberty, where she came off the bench for maybe like 10, 15 minutes. And she looked okay. There was a little bit of rust on the offensive end. She made a couple of defensive plays. We were like, okay, yeah, Alyssa Thomas is ready to go. I didn't expect her to have a game like this, where she was the engine for this team. And maybe it's time for us to not doubt Alyssa Thomas. Maybe it was just me thinking, we've never seen this in sports for someone to be able to come out like this. And I thought Kurt Miller summed it up best about her toughness when he said, look, she should probably be a 3, but with all of the injuries that she's dealt with this season, she's had to become a facilitating 4. And not even just this season, like for her entire career, she's had to become a facilitating 4. That's a little undersized because of the injuries that she's dealt with. And she has to get surgery at some point for that shoulder injury that she's been dealing with, but that's something she's probably not going to do until after her career is over. So what she did last night was heroic for Connecticut. And I do think it's an interesting wrinkle now that we know what she's capable of doing in this series in a way that we might not have thought that she was able to bring necessarily heading into it. But let's wrap this up with talking about predictions for game 3. How are you feeling about the Sky going back home against, again, a team that really brought it on the defensive end yesterday? Do you have a feeling about where this one might go?
I'm not certain. I didn't expect game 1, and I didn't necessarily expect the start of game 2. The way that it ended made sense. Like we expected the Sky to lose, you know, to kind of run out of gas at some point. But I can't really say. You know that they won a game here at home. in the playoffs. They beat Dallas fairly handily. They never really lost control of the game. But that 6-10 record in the regular season is still kind of staring at them. This is a different Sky team than we saw in the regular season. But having seen them for 3 to 4 months, you know that they could come back at any time. So I'm not quite sure. Connecticut is going to be desperate. The Sky are going to be desperate, and they have to be even more so. So it's like, you know, where it's tough to say where you go from that. I think for them to win, they have to come out and play the same game that they have been playing the entire series, which is get into the paint, be confident in their three-point shooting. And what they had success with in game one, even though Connecticut shot more, they have to get to the free throw line.
Yeah.
They're going to need some scoring from their bench. But I think most of all, they've got to be desperate. They've got to come out hungry to get a game three win. They can't count on another repeat performance from Jonquel Jones. They can't rely on maybe Alyssa Thomas going too hard in game two. They've got to want it from the opening tip. But I can't predict this one. I'll say the Sky win. I think it'll be another high scoring game like game one was, even in regulation, but I can't tell you the score. I just think the Sky will win.
I just feel like this team has kind of figured it out a little bit more offensively and that they just look gassed. I really believe that's what it came down to yesterday, more than them kind of regressing to where they were at in the regular season. Again, after the Olympic break, the offense just wasn't clicking in the way that it needed to. And for them to hold this Sun team to, 58 points heading into the fourth quarter, I do think that the defense has also brought a certain energy that we haven't seen in a little bit. I lean more to where the Sky, even despite Alyssa Thomas being able to bring a performance like she did yesterday, I do feel that this Sky team has figured things out, that if they have the energy to go out there and fight like they did in game one and the previous two rounds, that this team is actually in a good position. When you're that tired, your actions that you run aren't going to be as tight. They really struggled in the pick and roll yesterday. I would have to go back on Synergy to look at those numbers, but it did seem like that was something that also wasn't flowing the way that it was in the first game and in the two previous rounds. And
definitely,
I just think this really came down to this team running on low. And if they're able to fill up the gas tank in the next 2 days, I like their chances, man. I do like their chances. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. And these two teams match up well against each other. So this is going to be an interesting one. I think the Sky are actually going to win game three. So I do think it goes five, and I don't know how it's going to unfold, but a part of me does feel like this is a five game series just based on how it's played out so far. But Chris,
the travel is going to be a factor because both teams are having to deal with the same shitty travel arrangements by circumstance. But there's something about being able to come back and sleep in your own bed, whether that's in the house that you're renting or the house that you live in, and the Sky have that luxury. They have that that advantage. I said on Cash Considerations podcast with Jason Pat and Ricky O'Donnell earlier, I don't think James Wade is going to have a practice with the length of the season, with the travel, with 3 games in 6 days. I don't think the Sky are going to practice at all today. They might have a walkthrough tomorrow, but I think he's just going to tell them to rest, because a lot of yesterday's game had to be some kind of rest and recuperation, as Phil Jackson might have put it. So, but in terms of that, they are on the front foot in terms of energy, but they've got to come out and show it in the first 5 minutes and carry it through the game.
Yeah. And just to confirm what you just said, the Sky aren't practicing today. And so, yeah, they're going to get that rest. We're going to see what happens on Sunday. You guys have to pack the place, because your team needs you right now. Your team needs you. Go to TickPick and find some quality prices that won't burden your wallet, let's just say, or your bank account. So
it won't.
So let's pack the place on Sunday. But Chris, we know you're running low on time. Thanks for doing 25 minutes on game two, and I'm sure we'll be back on Sunday or Monday.
Check out the 1 minute recaps. I was late last night, but I promise I will be posting them after every game. And hey, not just game three, y'all. Game four is guaranteed now, and that's on October 6th, next Wednesday. So get on tickpick.com, official sponsor of this show and the Chicago Sky. Get your tickets. Come out to Wintrust.
Thanks for tuning in to another edition of the Skyhook Podcast. If you could take the time to rate and review the podcast wherever you get your podcasts, we would really appreciate it. And if you want to contact us, you can always do so by emailing our mailbag, which is the skyhookmailbag@gmail.com. One more time, that is the skyhookmailbag@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, you can find all that great information in the episode description. Reach out to us on Twitter, Instagram. We will get back to you if you have a question or want to fight us with anything that we've said today or in the past. But really, thank you for taking the time to listen to the show, and until next time.